Week 5, praise God, and closing the gap in the book of Nehemiah. And since we were at week 5, I just felt to do a little bit of review and just kind of ask the Holy Spirit to refresh all that he has spoken to us up till this point. Nehemiah has been an example of prayer. He's been an example of integrity, of leadership, of compassion. And we're going to step into tonight some perseverance. So that's what we're looking at with Nehemiah. He was a man of compassion. He sat down and wept. He mourned for the people of Jerusalem. He fasted and prayed and waited on God for a plan. The compassion of Jesus will lead us into action if we seek after it. We seek Jesus and say, Lord, give me your eyes, your compassion. We looked at scriptures that taught us that as Jesus moved with compassion, he healed, he taught, and he fed those that were in need. That same anointing will come on us as we seek the compassion of Jesus to bring healing, to teach and give instruction to those who don't understand the word of God, and to feed those who need some spiritual food. 5 points from the book, Love Like That, Dr. Les Parrott. Be mindful. This is how we do this. We are mindful. We are approachable. We are graceful. We are bold, and we are self-giving. The power of the Holy Ghost is on the inside of us to equip us to move with compassion, to equip us not to move with emotion and not to stay unreactive, but to respond in the Holy Spirit at all times. Nehemiah is an example of prayer life. He called out to the Lord and he talked to God in the way that he knew God. When we come into prayer with the Lord, we're coming to the presence of God with the way we have come to experience God. So if you come in intimidated, then you haven't experienced the love of God. But if you come in bold and with an assurance, you've experienced the faithfulness of God, and you've experienced what the power of the written word does in our lives. And that's how Nehemiah approached God, and he called him great and awesome God. He brought his attention to the greatness of God. He called his attention to the power of God, to the capability of God. When we come into prayer, it's not what we are capable. We're not seeking the Lord because of what we're capable. We're acknowledging what God is capable of doing. And we know that nothing is impossible. The task that was ahead of Nehemiah was impossible. The walls of the city of Jerusalem had been in ruins for years. But he went to God and got God's plan. And then the king paid for it. Isn't that nice? Amen? So when we go to God in prayer, we go realizing who he is. He's all powerful. He's the majestic one. He's all holy. As we stepped a little bit further into the book of Nehemiah in chapter 2, we talked about the favor that Nehemiah had on his life. Why? Because he was a man of integrity. He was a man of uprightness. He had the character and nature of godliness, which allowed favor. We cannot expect favor when we approach a situation if we have not lived in integrity and uprightness first. That's the first challenge, is to mirror integrity and godliness and uprightness, and then we can expect favor everywhere we go. Amen? The favor of God allows us to be bold, not prideful, not rude, but the favor of God allows us boldness. Amen? The walls mark distinction in our lives. The walls around the city of Jerusalem had clear markings. There was markings of distinction. That's what takes place in our spiritual life. There's a clear mark of distinction, of protection, of our salvation, a need for watchfulness, where God's presence abides within those walls. Amen? So as we went around doing an inspection, as we said, no one can live in ruins. The enemy wants to keep us in ruins, stepping around the rubble. No one can live there. You can't thrive there. We talked about the reason for that was the gates and the towers were not in place. That's where government was held. That's where life took place. We can't live in ruins, church. God wants us to thrive. That's why we need to ask him to show us those areas. And I believe that God has already done a reconstruction process in our lives. Amen? Can anybody just put their hand up and say, yes, God has started something. God has begun a good work. He's revealing some things. Pastor Carolyn says that as we go through our spiritual walk, the Lord peels us like an onion. So sometimes he just exposes an area. Or we've just been through a battle, and now we have a new place. When you go down south, sometimes you still see those stars where, you know, the Civil War took place on buildings. And that's where a cannonball might have gone through. And they have these markers, right? Well, we talked about not just leaving markers of our ruins and not making memorials over the battles that we've gone through. I don't want just remnants of my life. I want wholeness in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So where there's been devastation and destruction, God wants to put renewal and repair. It's about healing and recovery for strengthening. Amen? Because we thrive, we don't just survive, we are children of the Almighty God. Amen? Praise you, Lord Jesus. We talked about unity, one next to another, next to another. Unity to accomplish this rebuilding process. And fortification through the Word of God. And we're going to look at more scripture tonight, fortifying the walls around us as we are rebuilding. Amen? And not just refurbished. I just heard that word in my spirit. This is a renewing. This is something brand new. Amen? That God is doing in us and around us. And there's excitement when the Lord starts something in us. And then sometimes we hit a lull in the middle of something. Well, we're going to persevere. We're going to learn to persevere through that and come to the end and come to the completion of what God is doing in us. Amen? Zeal for the task, abounding in the work of the Lord, doing all things in the name of Jesus and giving thanks to the Heavenly Father. Amen? Well, that places us in chapter 4 tonight. Amen? So let's turn in our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 4, because we've been shored up, we've been fortified, and now some opposition is coming. If you can testify that God showed you some things a few weeks ago and that you've started a rebuilding process, then you may also be able to tell me on this side of it, you may have come up against some opposition. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that because opposition means we are doing something good and the enemy has taken notice. So let's look right here in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read 1 through 3. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates, the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was on his side, said, "What are they building? Even a fox climbing up on it would break it down." Ridicule, mocking to the rebuilding. And all he had done at that point was heard. He heard they were doing something. The enemy hears us, church. The enemy hears us lifting up a sacrifice of worship. The enemy hears us as we start declaring. The enemy hears us when we start walking in faith and we start testifying. And then what happens? He tries to mock us. I feel like symptoms in our body try to mock our faith. That makes me mad. The enemy tries to mock our faith. Maybe you've just recently started tithing and giving, and then something happens in your finances. The enemy tries to mock your faith. He's trying to ridicule. What this means here is ridicule means mock, stammer, to deride, as if imitating a foreigner. So that's what he was saying. What do they think they're doing? Who do they think they are? Is that what the enemy tries to make us feel like sometimes? Who do you think you are? Living by faith, walking by faith, confessing that word. The word's not working. You still have pain in your body. Is that what the enemy does? He's mocking. He's ridiculing our faith. That's why we have to be fortified in our faith. That's why we have to be even more assured in our faith. That's why we have to know that we are built on a firm foundation. That's why we have to know that this word never fails. Amen? Because we're going to keep on speaking it and we're going to keep on living it. Amen? Because opposition has come. Opposition will come when we are making progress for the kingdom. No, they were mocking them, saying they were frail, that the wall was frail. Does the enemy want you to feel like you're frail and weak and worn down and worn out? Well, what do we know then? The opposite is true. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen? We have on the whole armor of God. I don't know about you, but I can picture myself like Iron Man some days, in the armor of God. That's how I picture it. I am covered, fully suited up, empowered with the Holy Ghost. I know my weapons of warfare, and I know how to use them. Do you? Because we're going to need to know. Amen? Because opposition is coming against us in different ways, in different forms. The enemy wants to mock us, whether it's our finances, whether it's something we've seen progression in our family, and then all of a sudden something takes place. The enemy wants to mock the prayers that you're praying for those that you're believing to be saved, the peace that you're declaring over your home. And then what happens? Something else takes place, and the enemy's mocking. Oh, sure, you thought things were peaceful. Well, guess what? And we declare they are peaceful, and I will contend for peace. That means I'm going to fight for peace. Amen? Amen. Opposition means the action of opposing, resisting, or combating. Antagonistic, hostility. Has anybody experienced any of those things recently? Little opposition? Yeah? That's good. You know why? Because the enemy knows that the Lord is doing a significant work in you. A significant work. The work that was taking place here was significant. Why? Because now they were gaining their life back. They were going to gain their own government back. This was not just about walls. This was about a city. This was about a nation. This is not just about you. This is about your family. This is about your neighborhood. This is about our city. This is about our church. This is about our nation. It's significant. The enemy knows the work the Lord is doing in your life, in your family, is significant. Because the word is being established in you, and there's going to be expansion. There's an establishment of the word taking place. Now, where there was rubble, where there was a breakdown, where there was a gap, where there was an entranceway to the enemy, now there's an establishment there. And where there's an establishment, it means settled. And now there can be expansion take place. That's why you're coming under opposition. Because of your life and the life you will impact next to you. Remember, this is about the next to them. This is about the next to them. And this is about the next generation. And this is about who you're going to come in contact with at work and on campus. It's not just about us anymore. And in 1 Peter 3:14, it says, if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. Can anybody say I'm blessed? Have you felt a little bit like you've been suffering for righteousness' sake? Well, you're blessed. And then the rest of that verse says, do not fear them or be intimidated. The enemy here was mocking them, trying to intimidate them, ridiculing them, telling them they were weak, they were feeble, and the wall that they were building would fall because of a fox running over. Don't be intimidated, church. Don't be intimidated because the enemy is scared. Amen? Hebrews 13:6 says, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What can they do? What can they do? Nothing. Because the greater one is on the inside of us. Amen? This working, this rebuilding is critical. It is necessary. It is of the utmost importance. There's a reason why this is being spoken at this season in all of our lives. There's a reason. I don't know tomorrow, but the Lord does. The Lord knows why you need to be strong. The Lord knows why your family needs to be fortified. I don't. The Lord knows why he's coming along and needs you to be braced up now like never before. Maybe it's for the one next to you. Maybe it's because the Lord knows what opposition is coming. So let's get ready. Let's get fortified. Let's speak the word. Let's make our decrees. Amen? Amen. And now while this is going on, this opposition, this mocking, this ridicule, Nehemiah prays. He prays. Let's look at verse 4 in chapter 4. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own head. Give them over to plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. Insults. So Nehemiah was just saying, all right, God, you see what they're doing. Now I'm going to trust you with it. We can go to the Lord and have those prayers. Lord, you see that they hurt me. Lord, you see that they mocked me. Lord, you see what's happening with my finances. You see that money's being withheld. Lord, you see that something's being unjustly done. And then we leave it in the Lord's hands. Amen? Because we can turn to God in the midst of the taunting, and we could find justice in God if we trust him. If we trust him to be a just God. If we trust him to be a merciful God. If we trust him in the way he's going to work it out for our good. It's not always going to be the way we think it should be done. But if we're willing to say, God, I trust your mercy. God, I trust you in all of this. You do this justly. And that's what Nehemiah did. All the ridicule is going on. All the taunting has just started because his enemies just started to hear about it. Just started to hear about it. And Nehemiah prayed. Rebuilding the walls of this city, we know, is a symbol of rebuilding our lives. Let's not forget that. I want to go to verse 7 here in chapter 4. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ishod heard that the repairs to the walls of Jerusalem had gone ahead, that the gaps were being closed. The gaps in our lives are being closed. We're starting to shut down the enemy. We're starting to put up a blockade and saying, you can't enter in this way anymore. That's not going to work. You're not going to get me with anger in this area. You're not going to get me with fear in this area anymore. No more fear regarding my children. No more fear regarding sickness. You're not coming in on my finances. I'm a tither and a giver, and Lord, you promised to rebuke the devourer for my sake. The gaps are being closed. I don't know what areas on the walls of your spiritual life are starting to be closed, but you do. So just start declaring right now, Lord, thank you. The gaps are being closed. Come on, the gaps are being closed. Hallelujah. The gaps are being closed. We have to realize that. We have to see that. We have to acknowledge that because now we know why the opposition is coming. If we just wonder, why is there so much opposition? Why do I feel like the enemy's just mocking me around every corner? Because something's being done for the kingdom of God in your life. The Lord's establishing something. There's a rebuilding taking place. The gaps are being closed. Hallelujah. People hear about what God is doing in your life. Others are going to see progress being made. And yes, opposition may come even harder. But that's okay, because we're going to be ready for it. Amen? So now the enemy plotted together to go where the work was being done. So we talked about unity last week for us as the body of Christ. And now here you have the opposing force unifying. They're coming together. They're gathering together. They're having conversations now, right? So just as powerful as our unity is, we know, as Pastor has taught us, that the spiritual realm, the demonic force, is unified. They are organized. They're disciplined. What does that mean, church? We have to be even more so. Amen? Amen. They're trying to stir up trouble, but we know that if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? We know that there are more that are for us than against us, because we might feel like the pressure is building up and it's coming at every side. We have to declare, we know there are more that are for us that are. Amen. And no weapon being formed against us will. That's right. The God of angel armies is on our side. Amen. Praise God, church. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is fighting for us. God is fighting for your family. When you speak the word, you are putting angels into action for your family. Hallelujah. There was a spirit of strife coming against them. We talked about this last week. What comes against unity? Strife. Why? Because disunity and dissension will break down the vision. What feeds strife? Many things. Pride, selfishness, insensitivity to one another. We have to guard against strife in our homes. We have to guard against strife on our workplaces, in our jobs. We have to guard against strife in this house to the vision. We have to guard against strife outside of here. There's a lot of strife. There's a lot of arguing. Protect yourself against vain discussions and situations that will cause arguments and disruptions. That's what the enemy wants. Oh, and how are you doing with that? And did you get this? And what do you think about that? All it's doing is causing arguments. No, no more. How about saying, hey, what did you read in your devotions today? What worship song were you praising Jesus today to? That's what I want to talk about. I'll talk about Jesus all day long. Because there's unity. There's agreement. Men, guard against strife. Guard against it. Because the enemy wants to break down the walls of unity. Because where there's unity, God commands a blessing. That's why the enemy wants to come against unity on every front. Guard against it. Guard against it. Strife was working to disable the vision because God needs to accomplish the vision he put in front of Nehemiah. The Lord wants to accomplish the vision he's put in front of you. God had a plan for this city to be rebuilt, for them to be prospering. Yes, for sacrifices to be made. Everything that the enemy was saying, oh, what do they think they're going to do? Yeah, they needed to make sacrifices and honor the Lord. They needed a place to worship. They needed a place to live and to prosper. That's exactly what God wanted to do. That's exactly what God wants to do in our lives. Cause us to be prospering. Cause us to have kingdom expansion. Amen? And that's what the enemy wants to stop. We will not forfeit the vision of God and let strife in. Amen? And in verse 9, again, look with me, chapter 4, Nehemiah says, but we prayed to our God. Throughout this whole book, we see, but we prayed, but we prayed. This was that constant fellowship, that constant communication with the Lord. This is walking with the Holy Spirit each step of our day, stopping and praying, but we prayed. Lord, what do you think of this? Holy Spirit, lead me now. And then knowing the open door of the Holy Spirit and walking through it with the confidence and the boldness. Amen? He said, but we prayed and we posted guard and we carried on our assignment. We continued with the work. Carry on the assignment, church. Don't stop. Don't stop. Walk unhindered by the mocking and the ridicule of the enemy. Keep going. Press through. Carry on your assignment. Men, that's what we need to do. The Lord needs us to carry on. We cannot quit. We cannot give up. We cannot stop speaking faith, walking by faith, living by faith. We have an assignment to do, and we will not quit. We will carry on our assignment. Amen? And I want to read now Nehemiah 4, 10 through 14. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of our laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble, we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them, and we will kill them and put an end to their work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles and the officials, don't be afraid of them. Let's stop right here for a moment. So now you have the opposition on the outside, the enemy, the mocking, the ridicule. And now you have the breakdown on the inside. The laborers themselves are starting to get tired. This is a lot of work. Yes, sometimes the spiritual rebuilding that God puts in front of us will take some work. We will get an answer at the altar. The Lord will show us. And then our part is to go live it and apply it every day. And yes, there will be times where it's going to take some work. And the enemy wants us to feel weary and run down and overwhelmed. So now we have the opposition on the outside, the weariness growing on the inside, and then they're repeating what the enemy is saying. 10 times over, repeating, we're going to come after you, repeating, we're going to kill you, repeating, you're not going to get this done. What's the enemy saying to you that you're repeating? You're never going to succeed. Your children are going to fail. You're going to get sick. Come on. Your finances are going to falter. You're never going to be prosperous. What's being repeated to you by the enemy? We have to shut down the lies and the tactics and the mocking and the ridicule of the enemy. We have to shut down that lie, that repetition of what the enemy is trying to do to mock and to cause you to quit. Amen? The helmet of salvation in the weapons of our warfare. Think of the helmet of salvation, or Iron Man. The helmet of salvation reminds us of what we gain in salvation. Think about all that we have in salvation. We have the mind of Christ. We're saved from destruction. I can walk in healing. It's covering our thoughts. The helmet of salvation is guarding our thoughts. Are we guarding our thoughts, taking captive this repetition of the enemy? You're never going to be healthy. You're never going to be whole. You're going to suffer with this all the days of your life. Nope. I am the healed of the Lord. Your finances are never going to prosper. You're never going to get that home. You're never going to get that job. Your marriage is going to be in rubble. Nope. We're going to prosper, body, soul, and spirit. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. The helmet of salvation, church. You and your household will be saved. This is what we say. Come on, we got to speak it. We got to say it. We got to know and cast down those imaginations that try to uphold themselves over the knowledge that we have of salvation. Amen? Amen. The battlefield's in our minds. This was a mental attack. Do you know that combat never happened in this book? Never happened. They never went sword to sword. Never. It was a mental assault. If that doesn't let us know what our battles are right here in this book, from the rebuilding of the walls here. Remember I said a whole book of the Bible was given to about these walls being built? There's so much for us to learn from this. There was no physical attack. It was all mental. And we know that that's how the enemy works. That constant bombardment over and over and over and over and over again. I don't know what the enemy uses in repetition for you. I can only encourage you to get a scripture. You only need one. You only need one. You only need one. We only have one shield of faith that we hold up that quenches any fiery dart of the enemy. And I only need one scripture to put out as a lance of prayer before the enemy even thinks he's crossing the threshold of the walls of my life. Amen? Let's get our armor on, church. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. 10 times over, where you turn, they will attack. Wherever you go, wherever you go, wherever you go, your kids are exposed. This is happening. That's happening. Marriages are falling apart. People are losing their jobs. There's war coming. Over and over and over and over again. No. Let's stand our ground, church. Amen? We need reminding. In verse 13, this is amazing. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at exposed places. There was exposed places because they were still in the building process. Yes, we will still have exposed places because we are still in the rebuilding process. But it's for us to ask the Holy Spirit to acknowledge and show us What is this exposure? Why do I keep reacting in anger in this area? Why does fear keep coming in here, Lord? Show me. What is the exposed area so I can post the scripture guard in front of it? Amen? That's what Nehemiah was doing, putting guards at those exposed places. Where's the exposed places? The worry, the anxiety, the fear. Put a guard, put a scripture. Hold up that shield of faith. Or the enemy's going to just keep coming in and keep walking out. Keep coming in and keep stealing and taking plunder. Are we going to keep allowing him to? No, we're not. Verse 14. I'm in chapter 4, verse 14. Nehemiah says, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Let's remember the Lord is great and awesome. He took a moment and he reminded them. He reminded himself. We have to take a moment sometimes, church, and say the Lord is great and awesome. And remind one another and say the Lord is great and awesome. The Lord is great and awesome. Let us not forget the Lord is great and awesome. Amen? And then he said, and fight for your families, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and for your homes. Remember, we are fighting for our families. We are fighting for our sons, for our daughters. We are fighting for our homes, church. We're fighting for our nation. We're warring. Let us not forget, this is what we're doing. It's not for nothing. It's not for nothing. Remember, the Lord who is great. The Lord is awesome. And fight. And fight. And fight, church. We're going to have to fight. Men? But we fight and we win every time. We fight and we win every time. If we quit, if we give up, that's when the enemy is going to roll over us. But when we fight, we win. Amen? And we're fighting for our families. We're fighting for our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren. Amen? We're fighting for our neighborhoods. We're fighting for our school districts. We're fighting. We're fighting for our great nation. We're fighting. Amen? It's not just for ourselves. It's not just about me, myself, and I. It's about us and those who are going to come after us. And then in verse 15, when our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. We know that the enemy knows that we know that we win. We also know that when we pray and allow God to work, the plans of the enemy will be frustrated. We don't have to do anything else but go back to our assignment. Amen? We have to go back to our assignment. Praise God. They worked with sword in hand, speaking the word as our sword, and they had trumpets to call out to one another. Agreement in fighting and working. Agreement next to one another. Agreement. And they were on guard. On guard. We have to be on guard against the enemy. We have to be on guard. Ladies, do we remember what our acronym for guard is? Men, we will let you in on our secret. To guard. Governance, unfeigned, authority, responsibility, and determination. The action word of governing. Unfeigned means we are not pretending. We know exactly who we are in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. We have authority in Jesus Christ. We know our authority, and it is our responsibility to use it, and we will stay determined. We are on guard against the enemy. They prayed and then they kept going. We're going to keep going, church. We are going to keep going. Amen? Chapter 6 jumps into further opposition. The enemy will not quit if you do not quit. That's just a fact. But that's okay. Because we are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We know how to use the weapons of our warfare. Amen. We know that we have victory in Jesus Christ. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 1 through 10. Further opposition to the rebuilding. The word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it. Though up to that time, I had not set the doors and the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. I want to get to this part because I want to talk about discernment and wisdom tonight. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave and go down to you? Four times they sent me the message, and each time I gave the same answer. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter, which was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you, the Jews, are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and you have appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will go back to the king, so let us come and meet together. I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed. I just want to talk a little bit about when the enemy gets so scared and the opposition gets so stirred up, they get maddened. And now there's just spitting and sputtering. And that's what's taking place here. They're just starting to make up lies. They're just lying. And that part about that unsealed letter was so that people could read it along the way. See, there was always a letter with the stamp and the seal of the one who sent it. So now this one was unsealed so that people could read it along the way and the messenger could peek at it. Because if it's unsealed, someone's going to peek. So now they're reading, and they're reading this declaration, which is all lies. And now the rumors are starting to travel. And now Sanballat thinks this is how he's going to get Nehemiah to quit. See, when you find yourself up against such strong opposition, it's because you're making strides of progress. Again, the rebuilding of the wall was not about the now. It was about a city and it was about a nation. What's taking place in your life now, the spiritual battle you're fighting now, is not just about now. It's about what's happening after. It's about the ripple effect. It's about there's going to be a dispersion taking place of your spiritual gifts, of your walk, of how you are prospering. That's what the enemy is trying to shut down. And we need to have discernment and wisdom. And I'm not going to read each of these scripture verses, but I'm going to ask you to write them down and look at them this week to get them into your spirit. Because we need discernment and wisdom. And that's what happened with Nehemiah. He saw what was coming at him. He saw the trick that was taking place. And he knew this is a trap. And I'm not going to get trapped. So I'm going to just give you some scripture verses real quick to look up on your own. Ephesians 5, 6 through 10. Don't let anyone deceive you. When we go into conversations, we know there's a spirit world taking place, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We go in with discernment, church. We don't have to be duped. The children of God are not stupid and we're not welcome mats. We have discernment, we have wisdom, and we have boldness in the face of opposition to call out when the enemy is trying to entrap us. Amen? 1 John 4, 1 through 3 talks about who's being acknowledged. In the conversation that's taking place around you, what's being lifted up? If it's not Jesus, step out of it. If it's not the Lord being glorified, we don't need to be involved in it. That's how you know you're going to get trapped. Philippians 1, 9 through 10 talks about being able to discern. And first it says we need a new measure of love. Why? Because without that love, we can't discern. Without love, we'll judge and we'll be suspicious and we won't have discernment. And then James chapter 1, verse 5, if we need wisdom, we have to ask for it. So Nehemiah discerned that there was a plan to harm him, and then he used wisdom on how to step out of that. Amen? Amen. Let's just close in prayer tonight. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the power of the word. Lord, I thank you that we can proclaim your word over our lives. I thank you, Lord, for each one hearing this message, being strengthened as you are rebuilding in our lives, Lord Jesus. I thank you. Lord, we ask for wisdom and discernment to know what is taking place around us, to know who to speak to, when to speak, and how to say it. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we will not be fearful in the face of opposition, but we will stand our ground as believers on your word. And we thank you, Lord, for it. I speak a strengthening over each one in this house tonight, a strengthening against the opposition. Lord, Nehemiah prayed, now strengthen my hands. Let's just say, Lord, strengthen my hands tonight. Strengthen my hands, Lord, in the face of opposition that we can continue the work that you have called us to do. We speak down a strength tonight. We speak down a new energy tonight. We come against weariness and well-doing in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Right now, there's a strength coming down upon the people of God tonight, a strength to stand up in the face of adversity, a strength to fight for peace in every area of our lives. There's not one area of our lives that we need to tolerate strife or dissension in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word activating in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.